Bibles, turn with me to Revelations, the 8th chapter. Revelations, the 8th chapter. We started some time ago in Revelations, and we'll continue on there. Tonight, this afternoon, would have this morning, but we were interrupted by a visitor, and that's quite all right. I was the first one. She didn't come in and say, brother, she didn't come in and say, what? All right. Somebody grab the oil there. And we're going to talk about the seventh seal tonight, this afternoon, and the seven trumpets. Going to get started into the seven trumpets. We're going to read verses, chapter 8, verses 1 through 13, and do our best then to break this down for you just a little bit. We can't cover everything, but we'll cover what we can. I'm sure we can expand it further than what we're going to expand it, but just understand we're going to cover some of it, give you a general explanation, and help you have at least a general understanding of what it says here. Verse 1 says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar, and cast it unto the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. And a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And a third part of the ships were destroyed. And a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the waters of the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of the heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are not yet to sound." Now, as we go through the book of Revelations from talking about the churches, which we did last year, through this point, when these things begin to happen, the seals are broken and the trumpets are sounded. This is all just happens one thing right after another. There's no reprieve during all these things happening. It's just happening. I mean, one to get over with, and maybe even before it's quite over with, another one starts. And we're dealing here with the first 3.5 years of tribulation. These second woes will be starting into the third, the second half of the tribulation. But we're out here at the first part. We're in the middle of the first, we're in the part of the tribulation here. It's already started, the four horsemen. And now we're down to the breaking of the seventh seal. And, you just, before I can get started, you don't want to be there. Or you don't want to be here. You don't want to be here when all this starts. I understand, and from our reading of the Word and from our explanation of the Word, we understand there's going to be people saved during that time. But you don't want to chance it. You might want to take your chance, but can I say it like this? I guess I will anyway. You're a fool, and the Bible says don't call anybody a fool. But if you are going to reject what the Word of God says, then we might as well just call this ace of spades what it is, and you're just a fool. You're a very foolish person if you can hear, even today, in part of our church, and you hear what I'm trying to say, and I won't get it all, I won't get it all explained the way some people could explain it, but if you can hear this and the Holy Spirit can prompt you, and we talked about that the last 2 weeks, the Holy Spirit moving in our lives, and He can't touch you, there's something wrong. And if you want to be left behind, take your chances, there's something wrong. You're a foolish person. Very foolish person. So here we go. It says the breaking of the seventh seal initiates the seven trumpets of the judgment. The trumpet judgments are the seventh seal. The trumpet judgments are less severe than the seven bowl judgments that are going to come later in chapter 16. But however you wish to look at this, if you're not a Christian, you might want to examine your lives and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior prior to these events that we're going to discuss in the book as they take place in the book of Revelations. And if you're a marginal Christian today, or you're kind of in but you're kind of out, you need to get all the way in. You need to stop playing games with God. There will be serious eternal consequences for you if you don't. We got to get all the way in. I wish this church was full of people who say they belong to Countryside Church today so they could hear what I'm about to say. I think it's important for everybody. But if I waited for everybody to be here, I never would get to preach anything. I'd be waiting all the time. I'd have to wait and try to preach about a year's worth of sermons on Easter Sunday. You know? And you can't do that. So you're here. You're blessed. Okay? And so, verse 1. It says this, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in the heaven about the space of a half hour. Bob Ripley, the famous Believe It or Not fame of the wax museums and all that, he in his newspaper column one time stated, this verse proves that there are no women in heaven. I didn't say I said it. Bob Ripley said that. But seriously? Seriously? What causes this breathtaking silence among angels and men? First is this, the contemplation of the forthcoming trumpet blast. I mean, all of heaven realizes the seriousness of what's about to take place. How crucial it is that God do what he said he would do, and that Jesus is going to open these seals, and they are taking note of what's about to take place, and it's a very serious thing about to take place. There was silence in all anticipation at the grim reality of the judgments of God that God is about to unleash upon this earth. He's getting ready to do something he has never, ever done before. I know he brought judgment upon Noah and his group of people. I know that he did some things to Pharaoh during Moses' time. And he's caused his people to go into bondage at different times. And he's brought judgment upon his people. But this is a worldwide judgment, not just on one group of people, but on every bit of mankind that has rejected God for years and years and years and for ages and ages. God says, now is enough. He said now's enough when he called the church out earlier in the book of Revelation. He said, it's enough. It's finished. We're going to go forward now with my judgment. I've dealt with man enough, and so we're going to move forward. And so now he's beginning to move forward with his judgments. You don't want to be here, church. All of heaven, reason is silent, all of heaven realizes the horror that's about to be unleashed on planet Earth because of man's rebellion against God. And church, if you have lived any length of time, if you've got any bit of knowledge or any bit of common sense, you know this world is in terrible shape today, that men's hearts are hardened, and men's hearts are cold, and men have rebelled against God, and men are rebelling against God, and men have rejected God to the point that it's a wonder that anybody gets saved anymore. So it's all of heaven sees this, and they are in horror. Oh my goodness, God's about to do what he said he would do. And I think some of them are probably, there's no tears in heaven, but some of them are probably wrapping arms around one another saying, oh my goodness. And they're probably just like, I'm so glad. If there's any tears, it's tears of joy. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I've been saved from this. I'm glad I'm safe from this. And they're in horror about it. Verse 2. He said, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. In Revelations, trumpets are used primarily to announce impending judgment. So God has given to them these trumpets. The trumpets are the greater of a greater intensity than the seals, but not as destructive as the final bowl of judgments that's going to come. These trumpets will be given to the angels, the seven angels standing before God. They've been appointed to announce appointed by God to direct the series of judgments. They're there. They have these trumpets, and when they blow them, these judgments begin to take place. And there are no ordinary angels, and are to be distinguished from those who pour out the seven vials, and are not to be confused with the seven spirits of God in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. And we're not going to turn back there, but you go, they're a very special group of angels. The fact that these angels are standing before God indicates a place of prominence, such as given to the angel Gabriel. These are very special angels. These are very gifted. They have a place of prominence in heaven. God didn't just pick just the run-of-the-mill angel. He picked out his special angels. Sort of like the one Gabriel and what was that other one? The one that even, I guess, Gabriel came to Mary. But they had special assignments. And so that tells you something about heaven. Heaven's a place of order. It's a place of order. And if it's a place of order, the church ought to be a place of order. I won't go no further there. So there are no ordinary angels, and they stand before God. Trumpets, you know, were widely used in Israel. Every time they were sounded to announce a public assembly, they were sounded to use to direct soldiers in war, they were sounded to signal a special event in the history of the country, or if there's something going on, they would sound trumpets, and though folks knew when the trumpet sounded what it meant and what it was for, and they would gather together, or they would advance in war, or they would come into an assembly, whatever it was. And so these trumpets are sort of a type of shadow of that also, where God's using trumpets to announce something's about to take place. And so when they hear that, they know something's about to take place. They don't indiscriminately blow trumpets. If they're blown, it's for a reason. It's for a reason. And so they've given these to them, and these first four trumpets are to announce the divine destruction of the earth's ecology, while the last three involve demonic devastation of the earth's inhabitants. God's about to change nature. And you know what? He made it. He can do it. He has authority to do what he wants with it. It's his. It belongs to him. And so, look at Psalms 69, verse 13. I believe you have them, don't you, Brother Robbie? Okay. It says, he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. There's a judgment coming, ladies and gentlemen. It's coming upon this earth. You might as well get ready for it. And to get ready for that, become a born-again Christian. Then you escape what's going to come upon this earth. Acts 17, 31 says this, because he hath appointed a day. He hath appointed a day. God already has it written down on his day planner, if you will. It's already written down. God knows when he's going to say, that's enough. Church, come up here. That's enough. Blow the trumpet. That's enough. Send the four horsemen. He already knows when he's going to do that. It said, he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that they have raised him from the dead. He's given the authority to Jesus Christ to execute the judgment of God upon this earth. Jesus Christ is the one who is worthy. Jesus Christ is the one who paid the price. Jesus Christ is the one who's seated at the right hand of the Father. Not just making intercession, but sitting up there has the ear of God, and God has his ear. And when God says, son, stand up, execute my judgment, Jesus will stand up and say, angels, get your trumpets. Enough's enough. Come on, church. We got something to look forward to, but we got something to look forward to missing, too. I want to miss this. I want to be in heaven. I want to be a spectator. It's never right to be a spectator in church. We could preach a sermon on spectators and imitators and dictators and all that kind of stuff. It's never right to be a spectator in church, but when I get to heaven, I want to be a spectator of these events. I do not wish to participate. I'm going to sit on my hands. Say, not me, because I'm already safe. I'm already safe. In Romans 1:18 says this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. When these trumpets sound, all of God's wrath is going to be revealed. People say now, well, God's an angry God. God's a mean God. No, God's a God of grace and mercy. He's a God of grace and mercy, and he's executing his grace right now. He's showing his mercy to us right now. He's extending his love to us right now. He's showing compassion right now. But one of these days, he's going to say, that's it. That's final. I'm going to execute my wrath. I'm going to execute my judgment upon this earth. Before these first trumpet sends forth its blast, in verse 7, we're going to witness an unusual kind of a prayer meeting in heaven. And that's our next verse. And it said in verse 3, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. See, the prayers are being stored up. Do you understand? Your prayers today even are being stored up. But there's going to be prayers even then that's going to be stored up, and God's going to reveal them. And the censer carrying the fire from the brazen altar. They used to have the censer. They'd get the fire from the brazen altar. They'd take it over to the altar of incense. They'd light up the altar of incense. The sweet-smelling scent would go up into heaven. God would accept that as a part of the worship that they did. And so now this angel, and most scholars agree that this angel is Jesus Christ, this other angel come and stood at the altar, the one who's worthy. The one who's worthy to offer up the prayers of the saints. The one who's worthy to take the golden censer and take the fire from the altar of God when he was the lamb slain. He's going to take the altar, the fire from the altar, and he's going to, you know, they always take this, they killed the lamb, they laid it on the altar, they burned it. He's going to take that fire, and he's going to light the incense, that sweet-smelling smell that God's going to accept. And so Jesus is there, and he ministers to both God and man. He's going to minister these prayers. He's going to minister there in heaven before God and man at that moment. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God, and there's one mediator before God, or between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is, we really believe, is going to be the one that's going to take this golden censer and take that fire from the altar and offer it up to God. He's there in heaven. He's not just sitting on the throne a spectator. He has participated in executing the wrath of God. But before then, he's going to do this. He's going to do his priestly duty. He's going to do his priestly duty. And he's going to offer up the incense to God. It's going to be, boy, that's going to be something to see. The Savior also appeared, you know, Jesus Christ also appeared as an angel of the Lord in the Old Testament in many instances. Y'all remember that, don't you? He wrestled with Jacob. He walked among Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And other times he just visited the people in the Old Testament. Jesus was alive. He wasn't just formed right before he was born. He was involved in all creation. He's been involved all throughout history, all throughout time. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has been in existence. He's equal with God. I mean, but he does what the Father says. So he's our mediator. Between God and men. I mean, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if he hadn't walked in there, if it had just been an ordinary angel walking there, if it hadn't been the angel of the Lord, hadn't been Jesus, they'd have burned up, burned to a crisp. Right? He wrestled with Jacob. He said, what do you want me to do? Well, just give me a blessing. Jacob wrestled with him so hard he had to touch him in the hip and cripple him to get loose from him. That's another sermon right there. If we'd wrestle with God that much anymore. Take hold of the horns of the altar and say, Jesus, I ain't letting go till you bless me. Oh, we come down and say, Lord, let me go. I've had all I can stand. My knees are hurting. Jacob said, I won't let you go till you bless me, but that's a whole nother sermon. But Jesus is the mediator between God and man, and he liveth to make intercession for us, according to Hebrews 7:25. And now he stands at the altar, adding incense to the prayers being offered up by the saints of God on earth. These are imprecatory prayers for judgment. They are saying, Lord, it's time for you to judge this world. It's time. And so he does that. And sort of in Revelation 6:10, you hear over there, these people that were saved during the tribulation period, and there will be some people, and I used to think there couldn't, how could that happen? But it will. I mean, the Word of God says it will, so it has, if the Word says it will, it will. And I don't think they deserve it, do you? Oh, watch out what you say. Did you deserve what you got? If you got what you deserve, we'd all be in trouble. So I don't necessarily think they deserve it, but they did what it took to get it. So like you and I accepted Jesus Christ, I did what it took to get to escape this. But so there's going to be come out great tribulation. And Romans Revelation 6:10 says that they cry, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on earth?" These are people that gave their lives up. And they're saying, "Lord, you got to avenge our blood. We stood up for you. We gave our lives for you. They took our heads off for you. They killed our children for you. How long are you going to wait till you avenge our blood?" And God's saying, "Just hold on a second. Just wait. It's about to happen." And so Jesus is doing it. So their prayers have reached the throne of heaven. Their prayers are there. They're around the throne of God. And these, the intercessory prayers of believers, every believer, us and others, are very important, extremely important in the destruction of evil and the establishment of righteousness on earth. You got to understand something here, church. I just made a statement you didn't get. Or maybe you did. We need to be praying more. If we want righteousness to be established on earth, we got to pray for righteousness. We want judgment to come upon those who have gone against God. We got to pray for judgment. But we're not wanting people to be doomed, and we don't want people, I don't want anybody to go to hell, but yet I've got to pray the will of God. And I want people to be saved. So I pray, and so my prayers are very important. And your prayers are very important. And so these prayers are the prayers of the tribulation saints and all the saints in heaven. They had prayed before and prayed before we went, and now God is paying attention. Okay, it's time to execute judgment. I'm going to get revenge. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? But that's what it, basically, in a sense, that's how we can kind of, I'm going to get them. One way or another, I'm going to get you. I'm going to find you. I'm going to get you. he's going to get them. And I'm not gloating in that, and you shouldn't either. No, don't think I am. Don't think I'm making fun of it or making light of it. I'm not. But I'm just telling you, God's going to execute his job. People think they can just do what they want to do, do everything they want to do, say what they want to do, think what they want to do. I mean, just do all kinds of things that they shouldn't be doing. And that God's going to just overlook it. And he's going to, everybody's going to heaven. Well, it's not so. It's not true. Not everyone's going to heaven. You must be born again. And you must enter at the door. Jesus said, "I'm the door. I'm the way. I'm truth and life. And no one comes to the Father except through me, by me." You got to enter in at the door. And you can't get there any other way. You can't be a Buddhist and make it. You can't be a Muslim and make it. You can't be a Hindu and make it. You can't be an atheist and make it. You can't be agnostic and make it. You got to be a born-again Christian to go to heaven. And if you're not, you will very likely experience what I'm about to explain in just the next few moments. So what I'm preaching today, and I try to add humor to things, is that you got to be ready. You got to get ready. And so, their prayers, verse 4, it says this, "And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God and out of the angel's hand." Out of the angel's hand. And verse 5, "And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake." Now, all he did was took the censer, filled it with the fire of the altar. He's got fire in that censer. This is Jesus. Just picture this. And I'm not Jesus by no means. But he's got it in his hand. And he goes, just take this. It's it. That fire's in that censer, about that big around, probably full of fire. And he cast it to the earth. He cast it to the earth. And when he does, there's thundering, as loud and as scary as you've ever heard. There's lightning going everywhere. The earth is filled with lightning. The whole earth, not just one portion of the earth, not just one city or state or county, but the whole earth is filled with thundering and lightning. Can you imagine the chaos? And then there's an earthquake that doesn't just shake one region. Doesn't just shake California out into the Pacific Ocean, but it's shaking everything, and buildings are falling and cars are falling through cracks and people are yelling and screaming, and there's chaos. And that's just the beginning. There's chaos. And it's what a contrast to the solemn silence just 30 minutes before. Solemn silence in heaven for a half an hour. And now all of a sudden, all the noises you could ever imagine is unleashed. How frightening that will be when that happens. Scare you half to death, and that's just the beginning. That's nothing. And it says this, verse 6, and the angels which had the trumpets prepared themselves to sound. It's raining, isn't it? Well, don't let it scare you. There's no thundering, no certain lightning, and there's no earthquake. We're safe right now. It's just rain. At this moment, it's kind of like the heavenly military has stood up. The leader has said, ready, aim, fire. The angels stand up and they put the trumpet one by one. The first angel puts the trumpet up to his lips. And here we are, the first 3.5 years of tribulation have ended. And the second great tribulation, last 3.5 years are beginning. And they put the trumpet to their lips and they sound in rapid succession. And there'll be very little time between each of them for a reprieve from each disaster and each thing that's about to happen. Just one, as soon as one gets through and what's supposed to happen happens, the next one blows and it starts, all four of them just immediately, one right after, in succession, it starts happening. I can't imagine the chaos going to be on this earth and the anger that's going to be on this earth and the fear and all the things that people are going to feel during that time. The first trumpet sounds in verse 7, and it says, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and there was cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. We're in the middle of a drought here in Oklahoma and western Oklahoma, and other areas of our nation are in a drought, and that ain't nothing compared to what's going to happen. We had major fires over in northwest Oklahoma just last year that burned up thousands of acres and caused great devastation. That's nothing can be compared to what's happening here. We have all the earthquakes and the mudslides and the fires in California can't compare to what's going to happen when this starts. It's just a prelude to what God's going to do. There is no reason not to take this verse literally. Absolutely none. The plagues in Egypt were literal. If these things were what John saw, then this is what's going to be. God's not going to show him a picture of something that's not the way it is. John saw it, and this is the way it is. It happened in Exodus 9 and 22, and there's no reason to believe it can't happen here again. It's going to happen. One-third of the earth's vegetation is destroyed by fire and hail. One-third of it. I don't know how many acres that would be. I didn't take time to research that out. But thousands upon thousands, millions of acres are going to be destroyed instantly. All the vegetation gone. What's that going to bring? Even more famine. Even more famine, even more starvation than what we have in Africa now. So it won't just be the continent of Africa being affected by this. It won't just be some different regions in the Middle East affected by this. But a total one-third of the whole world is going to be affected by this. By this devastation. One-third of the seas are going to be polluted. Totally polluted. Unuseful. Can't drink from it. It's just going to be polluted. The heavens, the sun and the moon, and the stars are darkened for a third of the day and night. We're going to get into all that here in just a moment. Darkened for a third of both day and the night. The first trumpet. The heavens, the judgments will affect humans also, and many's going to be killed. Right then. If you're in the middle of one of those, when that hail and fire falls, and you're there in that area, and there's a great fire start up, buildings are going to start burning, and grass and vegetation is going to be burned away, and you're out, I'm out here on my dune buggy today, I'm out here having a good time, and you're going to be burned up. You're not going to survive it. You're gonna be gone, man. No hope for you at all. So this judgment is limited to one third of the world because the purpose is to partially warn the people and bring them to repentance. God is still a merciful God and still wants people to come to repentance. Even during this, he's asking people, would you please repent? But the world hardens their hearts. They get hardened, harder. They're like Pharaoh. Instead of saying, yeah, I believe I better let the people go, instead of saying, ain't going to do it. Ain't going to happen. Yeah, they won't say, I think I better serve God. Instead, they're going to say, ain't going to happen. And Lot's going to say, I can't believe if God's such a God of love, he'd do this to us. Because they bought that lie. They can do what they want and get away with it. They're spoiled like spoiled children. Then verse 8. And the second angel sounded. And there was a great mountain burning with fire cast into the sea, as it were a great mountain. So here's a type and shadow. As it were, this is probably a giant meteor falling into the sea. A giant meteor. It says, as it were a mountain. So it's a symbolic description as a mountain, but it's probably a giant meteor that's falling into the sea. And so we notice a similar occurrence in Exodus 7, verses 9 through 21, where we saw the earth. And so it falls into the sea, as it were a mountain, and a third part of the sea became what? Blood. Can't drink blood. It destroys what's in it, right? Fish can't live in blood. Can't breathe. So things start happening. Nature is upheaved here. Everything, the balance of nature is messed up. There's nothing working like it's supposed to. And then there's a second trumpet in verse 9. Another part of the second trumpet. God's second trumpet blast is so horrendous that one third of the creatures in the sea die and a third part of the ships in the sea are destroyed. Capsized, sunk. All the sailors are die. All the goods are sunk to the bottom of the sea. And everything changes. And all these, can you imagine the stink? When all these dead animals start floating to the surface with their bloated bodies and their decaying bodies and how nasty everything's going to be. The whole sea is going to be polluted. The Atlantic and the Pacific and the Red Sea and the Caspian Sea and the Gulf of Mexico and all the seas, a third part of every animal in the sea dies, and all these ships and all these sailors are going to be out there floating around with these bloated, decaying bodies. I know it sounds gross, but it's going to be gross. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? Verse 10. And the third angel sounded. Guys, this gets worse as it goes. A third angel sounds. And there fell a great star from heaven, burning as if it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. Can you imagine? And verse 11, and the name of the star is Wormwood. Wormwood. And a third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter or poisoned. Strange that Chernobyl, you remember that disaster they had in Chernobyl, Russia, many about 25, 30 years ago. Do you realize in the Ukraine Bible, that means wormwood? Wormwood. The judgment also occurred in Moses today in Exodus 7:17, where God told Moses to tell Pharaoh, behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. A star or a meteor called wormwood. It's going to fall from heaven through space and speeds toward the earth. And when it strikes, one third of the earth's water supply will become deadly poison. Now, you already got all these dead animals in the seas and all these other places. And now all the good water, your wells, your public water supplies, your rivers that were clean, if there are any left even today, places where you might have got a safe drink of water will be polluted. And it's so bitter and so bad that it'll kill people when they drink it. It'll poison them. That's going to happen. Deadly poison. Rivers, springs, and wells are going to be affected. So, well, I got a well, I'll be safe. No, you won't. It'll be polluted. All the water under the earth will be polluted. Why? Because God said it would. And you can live a while without food, but you can't live very long without water. So what's going to happen there? More people are going to die because of their rebellion against God. Wormwood is a bitter, poisonous substance representing God's judgment and human sorrow. It's going to happen. And it's absolutely within God's power to make waters bitter and sweet as He chooses. It's His power. He can do what He wants. And then verse 12 and 13, the fourth trumpet. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard as an angel, flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are not yet to sound. So the fourth judgment involves the earth's luminaries. The earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars. One fourth of a day of creation, on the fourth day of creation, I should say, God created, said, let there be light, and there was firmament in the heavens. There was light. Now with the blast of the fourth trumpet, one third of the light produced by these bodies is extinguished. The moon dims, the sun dims, the stars dim. Light goes down to nothing. Talk about we call that our days, lowered light, but get some mood lighting. Right? That's going to be bad mood lighting. I see a bad moon rising. Some of y'all got that, some of you didn't, but it's okay. Just dates me, not y'all. With the loss of solar heat will cause a radical drop in temperature, producing severe changes in the meteorological, botanical, and biological cycles of the earth. What's left of the foliage, the grass, can't grow properly. Gardens won't produce. Trees won't put on their leaves. Everything changes. All the beautiful flowers die. They won't have the proper sunlight. Men will get angry. If they're drunkards, they'll be like the folks in one of our nation's states, and where there's an awful lot of darkness all the time. A lot of them become alcoholics. They'll go to the bottle. They'll run for some hope, some help, some solace, and they'll turn up liquid courage, and they'll drink liquor, and they'll get drunk. And come on now, because they're without hope. They're going to try to find some hope. They're going to try to find some help. They're going to try to find something to keep them and make them feel safe. Well, that won't do it, but they're going to try. And so everything happened. The loss of light happened also in Moses' day in Exodus 10, chapter verses 21 through 33. 23, you're going to look at that. If it happened then, it'll happen again. God said, I'm going to cause darkness to come. And then he said, darkness is going to come upon this land. It got so dark in Moses' time, they couldn't see the hand in front of their face. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Because see, probably when this all happens, our electric grid is probably going to go out. It's going to be dark. Well, let's flip on a switch. No. Because of all these disasters, because of all that's happened, and the earthquakes, and the hail, and all these things, your electrical grid is probably going to be shot about this time. No water. No food. And that's just the beginning. Just the beginning. The worst is yet to come. Because you see in verse 13, he says, I beheld an angel flying through heaven. And it said, woe, woe, woe. And it wasn't like you on the back of your horse and he's running full speed and about to run through a barbed wire fence and you're going, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, it's whoa in a bad way. Now I realize the horse runs through a barbed wire fence. That's not a good way. But this is a whole different. You're not just saying stop. You're saying woe is coming upon this earth. Disaster is about to strike. You think it's bad now. It's about to get worse. This correlates with Daniel chapter 9. I won't read it, but you can write it down. And that's where the 70th week is described. The first 3.5 years of tribulation are not nearly as severe as the second 3.5 years. And that's what this angel is saying. You think it's bad now. This next 3.5 years is going to get really, really bad. So you see, Jesus himself described the first half of this period as the, in Matthew 24, verse 8, as the beginning of sorrows. And he described the second half as the great tribulation. People say, well, we're already in tribulation, preacher, and we go through all these things, and we've had tribulation in our... Well, yeah, in this life you shall have tribulation, but it's a different meaning to that tribulation, to the tribulation he's talking about that's going to come upon this earth. Totally different thing. Yeah, we've all had bad things. My sister talked about this morning, be of good cheer. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, and you can too. But, you know, the God of all comfort comforts us. But this is a whole different thing here. So as the tribulation hour nears its climax, the judgments become more severe and the loss of life greater. Just in closing, you don't want to be here. And I'm not teaching this, and you go through it verse by verse, you're not teaching this to try to scare you, but it's to inform you. But I hope in you receiving the information that you get scared. I don't want to scare you, but if you're not a Christian, I want you to become concerned and afraid. I want it to wake you up, I should say. I just want you to wake up. You don't want to be left behind. So you don't want a chance making it in that first 3.5 years of tribulation. You don't want a chance going through any of this stuff. You want to just be ready to go in the rapture. And I believe we're going in the rapture if you're a born-again Christian. I believe in rapture. I believe the Bible bears it out, and I think it's back over in chapter 6. Before chapter 6, I think after chapter 4, you don't find the church mentioned again in the sense of being on the earth. It's after chapter 4. He talks to the churches, and then at chapter 4, and I'm going to read this to you just to refresh your memory. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, and after this, John said, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. And immediately I was in the spirit, he said, and a throne was set before me. And so you go on and read about that. I believe that's where the church is called out of here. And so after this, we are in heaven. And you want to be a part of that group. Believe you me, you want to be a part of that group. If you're not, I suggest to you today, may I make a suggestion? Now, I'm not going to belabor this at all, but may I make the suggestion that which I make all through this series when I'm preaching it, become a Christian. You need to become a Christian. You need to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because you don't want to be left here. So anyway, the next few weeks, as time permits and as occasion permits, we're going into the Easter season starting next week, Palm Sunday and then Easter Sunday, and then after that we'll get back to this again. I want to go through this because you need to know what the Word of God says concerning this earth and those who are going to be left behind. It's important that you know. But I want you to encourage yourself today. We're not of those who lose their soul. We're the born-again church, a part of the body of Christ. And there's a many parts of this body around the world. I want to be there, don't you? I want to go to heaven one of these days. And so I'm doing my best to live for God until He calls us home. Well, stand with me.